Father God, God, we are so thankful that you love us. Father, when we were the one and you left the 99 behind and you came after us, you loved us. Father, you never stopped loving us. There's nothing we could do that makes you love us more or less. And God, we thank you for that. God, we thank you that it's not based on who we are or what we do, but it's all based on you and your son, Jesus. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being relentless and chasing after us, continually pressing in. Father God, thank you for not worrying about the consequences of how it could change our lives based on your love. But God, just thank you for loving us. God, thank you for coming into our lives, for changing who we are, making us more like Jesus. Thank you for allowing us in our heart to want to strive to be like Jesus. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to transform us. God, thank you for who you are and your goodness. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a seat. The kids can go to Children's Church, Sunday School. I'm going to move my phone so I don't play with it, because I won't play with it, but it's something else to knock over. I found this water in the fridge. And it was not sealed, but it was closed and full. Oh, perfect. As long as it was filled with tap water, I'm good. So, I missed you guys while we were on holidays, I'll tell you that. Well, I'm glad you missed me. We're going to talk a bit about spiritual family, and what does that mean? If I can, oh boy, what did I just do? I should have. Did it work? Oh, good. Okay. We had a great time with my family, though. We had an awesome time. We had perfect weather. We had like 35, 36 some days. And we had some days. I looked here, and I think you guys were minus 25, so I felt bad for you all. Just like Lyle felt bad for us when we were here and he was in Hawaii and it was minus 35 in a snowstorm. I'm sure he was looking back, him and Elaine, thinking, oh, I sure wish I was there to help shovel with those guys. And not at all, eh? Did you remember where we were, even? Hardly. So we're all part of the spiritual family, though, and isn't that cool? That we all become brothers and sisters when we accept Christ, when we accept Jesus. How many of you would agree that your identity of who you are is rooted a bit into your family? A little bit, right? The way we are, maybe the way we believe, is rooted in our family for most of us. See, December 14th, 1979, I was born into the Miskell family. We don't need to do the math on how old that makes me, but I was the oldest of three children. I had no control that I was born at the Holy Family Hospital in Prince Albert and inserted into this Miskell family. My mom, Della, my dad, Ron, were married in August of 1979. And no, I was not 5 months premature. We're just going to leave it at that, okay? My dad was this cool rocker that loved cars. My mom was the youngest. She was the baby of her family. Still in high school when she met him. Barely graduated when I was born, like months later. Do I keep cutting out? Maybe I'll just try to make sure everything's plugged in. I noticed Nathan's ears must be smaller than mine. So my mom meets my dad on the hood of his car. And I'm not sure going to say what he was doing on the hood of his car at the time. But you can imagine in the 70s what most cool guys would do on the hood of their car. Probably a cigarette or something out of the corner of his mouth and a cigarette pack rolled up in his sleeve. I don't know what they did in the 70s. What'd you do in the 70s? Yeah. I'll leave it. So then you have David, Trinity, and Nicholas. My first community, the oldest of these kids. And I got this opportunity to be the test pilot, the test child to this couple whom just turned 19 and or 18, sorry, and barely 20 to learn how to be parents by the seat of their pants. I had no control over the family dynamics, no control over where we went to church, what we did, who we went to visit, no control over anything. I had no control over how connected we were to church or any of that sort of thing. I had no control over what neighborhood we lived in. No control that I was uprooted at grade 7 and moved to the big city of Blackfoot. For which of you that don't know, is about 50 people. Just outside of Lloyd. And then we moved to the little bit bigger city of Kitscotty, which is like 1,000 people. I think when we moved to Blackfoot, we took it from 50 to 55. There's a new section in the back that didn't even exist back then. It was a slough. Imagine me and those guys. I had no control over the fact that when I was moved, I didn't even know what country music was. And about a month later, I hopped on the bus for the first time. And it wasn't a city bus. It was a big yellow school bus. And they passed up a cassette tape. And pop in Garth Brooks, which I had never heard in my life. Country music? What is this? This is awful. But this is what I got. This was the things that form my dynamic. So since families form identities, let's talk about how God does family. So what are the... Oh, next slide. What are the implications that when he does things, when God does things, what do they have on our life? You can look a lot of it from the level as of a parent, as a child, as a friend, as a follower of God. But you can all relate to this in some form because all of us have a biological family. Not every one of us is part of God's family. Some of us have chosen not to go there yet. But we all have a biological family that this can relate to us, that we helps us understand God's family. You need to choose to be part of God's family, don't you? We all have to make that choice to cross that line and choose to be a part of God's family. And that's what the Bible says in John 1. Boy, you guys probably missed me taking my shoes off. I did it for you when we recorded the message, all the messages. I made sure I took my shoes off each time. It's my habit, I don't know. Anyways, John 1, 9 to 13 says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human descent, or of a husband's will, but born to God." That's John 1, 9 to 13. So what we see is very clear, don't we? We can all become part of God's family. It's open to any of us that choose it. We just need to make the choice. We can accept Christ, we can accept Jesus, or we can reject him. I can have access to God's family through his son, Jesus. And that's a choice that we all have to make. That beep. I can smell food and it's trying to not get distracted. So if you take anything from what we talk about today, it's this. God desires family. He desires us to be a family and be with him in his family. And secondly, that God has a way for his family to function. God has a household, and he is head of his household. Do you agree with that? God is the head. He has told us how he wants things to go, how he wants us to relate to each other. So what are we going to talk about today? Well, the first point is this. That would be where you change the slide. The first point is this. God wants to grow his family. How many of you guys have ever seen that show about the Duggars? Gary, come on. You never watched the Duggars? Yeah, but they had 19 kids and counting, right? I think they kind of ran with this motto of, we can make them, we'll take them. Hey, honey, want to have another? Sure, why not? Like, how did that discussion go when you went to 14 to 15? Well, we have 14 in the bag. Why don't we try for 15? Let's see how this goes. Like, I don't know. It's a different mindset. Weird. But at number 19, there's probably some discussion in that household. Boy, mom and dad are spread a little thin, aren't they? There's 19 of us. And on a human level, that might make sense a bit. But not on a supernatural level with God. God doesn't have a bandwidth problem like we might, or like it might be perceived by some of our kids might. Why? Why does God not have a bandwidth problem? Because God is infinite and God is love. Because he is infinite and loving, and there is enough God to go around for all of us. That's why God wants to grow his family. Some people think that we're crazy because we have 5 kids. Some days I think I'm crazy too. But guess what? You have enough love to go around, don't you? And that's like God. God doesn't get spread thin. God doesn't have to make a choice of, well, do we put food on the table or do we put the kids into soccer? He doesn't have that problem. God doesn't have a bandwidth issue. God is immeasurable. There's always enough God to go around. God knows every detail of our lives. Every struggle that we go through, God knows. Every failure that we've had or have, or every issue we're going through, God knows. Every challenge, guess what? God knows. And guess what? Beyond that, God's got it. It's not ours to carry. 2.1 billion believers on the planet. How many people are on earth? 7.5 billion? 8 billion? How many people do you think of that 8 billion God wants as his children? Every single one, because he doesn't have a bandwidth problem. He doesn't have to make a decision of, well, am I going to love Lyle or Elaine? I don't know. There's only so much of me to go around. It doesn't matter. He wants all 7 or 8 billion of us to be his children, to be connected with him through his son, Jesus. He doesn't have a bandwidth problem. He wants to know us all. He wants each and every one of us to be part of his family. He wants to know us on a personal and on an individual and on a specific level. God wants you. Period. How do we know that? How do we know that God wants you? Who did he send? He sent Jesus. He sent his only son so that we could join the family of God. That's how I know God wants us. I've said this before. I like you all. But I don't think I could send Seth to die for you. But that's how much God loves us. Ella, maybe. No, just kidding, Ella. Just teasing. No. I can't even understand and fathom that. How much God loves us. But he does. that much that he sent his only son for us. He paid a high price, didn't he? When you see people that I was showing Stacy, a child that was born in Kenya recently, actually on Friday, and this child was one of the rare kids that was actually had the opportunity to be born in the hospital, and his mom walked out right after he was born. So she pretty much had this baby, and she just walked straight out of the hospital and left the baby. And he was called, like, the foster family, the foster care place. That's actually Jason Shepherd. He was a former pastor at Saskatoon that he runs this orphanage. And he said they have 50 kids, and they're getting more all the time because these families just walk out. And people are willing to come in and love these kids and step in. And Jason was willing to leave his family here. Like him and his wife left their families, their parents, here and went there. They paid a high price to love these kids, but doesn't even speak to the high price that God paid when he sent his son Jesus. He paid a high price to grow his family. He sent Jesus, his son, his only son, to pay a debt that he didn't owe. He didn't owe that debt. We did, didn't we? Was Jesus sinful or is God sinful? No, he didn't know that debt. Why did he pay that debt? Because he loves us. And we could not pay that debt. On our own, we could not pay that debt. We needed Jesus to pay that debt for us, though. Jesus paid a debt he didn't owe because we owed a debt that we had no way to pay. He did it so we could have full access to God, our Father. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came so we can have full access to God. He came so we could have the same access that he has to God. So the question I want to ask you is, who else? Who else do you know that needs to join God's family? Who else do you see on a daily basis that needs to join this family? Because God's got the bandwidth. Who else needs to come and be a part of his family? In Ephesians, we read about this, and Paul talks about how God opened up and sacrificed to grow his family. Ephesians 2, 11 to 13 says, "Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who called themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promises, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." See, verse 13 is one of the biggest buts in the Bible. I always tease, and don't take offense to this, but there's that song, "I Like Big Butts and I Cannot Lie." This is the biggest butt I like. This is the biggest butt. "But now in Christ Jesus, you once were far away and now have been brought near by the blood of Christ." But now in Christ Jesus. But now in Christ Jesus. See, it's not us. It's but in Christ Jesus, isn't it? Because of Christ, because of Jesus, and who he was and what he did, we are brought near to God. We are connected to God now. That's pretty awesome. It's pretty exciting. Every one of us believers, if you're a believer, you cross that line to join God's family. Once you were far away from him And now you're connected to him. Now you're part of the family. Why? Because of Jesus. He brought us near to him. Do you remember that day? Some of you might. Some of you can say, well, I was born into a Christian home and raised in a Christian home, and it's pretty much all I've known. But some of us have that moment in our life where we say, I remember how I was, and I know what Jesus did for me, and now I'm a different person, and I'm spitting as I talk because it's exciting. I remember what Jesus did. Do you remember that moment? There was a moment where Dave Misko was far from God. But God sent Jesus to bring me near. There was probably a moment where some of you were far from God and Jesus brought you near. He took you by the hand and helped you cross that line. If you haven't joined God's family yet, guess what? God wants you to. He wants to know you. God wants you. I don't know if you've watched the show, The Voice. Have you ever watched the show, The Voice? Somebody's up there singing and I'm not going to sing. And you got all these stars and they're in their chair with their backs to the person singing. And they like the person that's singing and they like what they hear. And they hit the button and their chair turns around and says, I want you. God wants us. He wants us. He loves us. He wants to connect with us. See, as I said earlier, it's not based on anything that we do. It's not based on who we are. It has everything to do with who he is. He loves us no matter what. When we're sinners, guess what? He still loves us. But he wants us to connect with him. He wants us to spend that time with him. And the thing is, that song that Mary sang earlier about the never-ending, never-failing love of God, it doesn't end. It doesn't fail. We mess up all the time, and it doesn't end. He still loves us. We need to continue to connect ourselves with him. Because, like any family, if you only saw your family at Christmas time, you wouldn't be overly connected with them, would you? Some of those family members you only want to see at Christmas time. But you need to see your family all the time. That's why God wants to continually connect with us every day. That's why he wants us to talk to him through prayer. That's why he wants us to read our Bibles and hear what he has to say to us and have him speak to us. He wants to be all yours. And he wants you to be all his. I'm going to say that again. He wants to be all yours and he wants you to be all his. That means that nothing else in this world should be coming between you and God. I love my wife and kids, but they shouldn't be between me and God. God needs to be number one. He wants you to be all his. He wants him to be your focus. He wants you to want him as much as he wants you. And all you have to do is say yes. It's the biggest I do you'll ever say. Or I will, or whatever you said on your wedding day. It's bigger than that. So the first thing about God's family is what? He wants to grow it. The second thing about God's family is God wants us to connect to each other. God wants us connecting with each other. He doesn't want us competing. How many parents here can say that they've seen their kids compete a little bit with each other? Maybe to try to look like the favorite. I know we have this a bit in my house, and I don't like using my house as an example, but I'll use it again. So Seth is perceived as the favorite. He's perceived as this child that walks on water. He's next to Jesus. And he's not, but it becomes a big competition with kids. It's funny how it happens. And I'm sure many of you in your houses have this. What's your brother's names? Dustin and what's that? Okay, so you got, Jaden. Jaden's probably the favorite. Just, you've got all three boys and they're probably like, oh, mom and dad are favoriting Nathan again. Nathan's a favorite. But it's how families work, isn't it? You've probably heard that, right? Those of you with kids, have you heard that? We've probably all heard that about one of our kids. Oh, there goes the favorite again with dad to the car wash. Meanwhile, the kid's in there with a toothbrush scrubbing the rims on the truck, trying to make sure it doesn't shake when you're driving down the road if you're going through mud. But no, God doesn't have favorites. The Duggars probably have to pull out a taser to keep the kids in line sometime. And then the favorite doesn't get the taser gun, does he? Did you get the taser? A.K.A. the belt? Or the wooden spoon? Or what? Anything that was available to be used, right? Oh boy. I'll do some parental counseling later. Don't worry, Nathan. But God wants peace in his family. Did you like when your kids are at home fighting? I know it's the one thing that drives me crazy. It's like, can't you guys just get along? Like, come on. I love you all. And that's what God is like. I love you all. You don't need to compete for a spot with me. I have the bandwidth. I love you the same as you, the same as you, the same as you. The same as you, because I got five. God loves us all the same. Doesn't matter if I'm sinning. Doesn't matter if I'm racing cars. God loves us all the same. Period. There's nothing that I can do that can separate me from God's love. What can separate me is from relationship, where I'm not communicating with him, we're not in alignment with the purposes that he has laid out for me as a believer or as a person, because he wants me in relationship, but it doesn't mean he stops loving me. Right? It's that song. He'll leave the 99 to go after the one that's kind of walked away and wandered away and got lost, because he still loves that one. He doesn't stop loving them. Just like your kids. Do you ever stop loving Nathan? No matter how many dumb, stupid things he's probably done, you never stop loving him, right? There you go, Nathan. You're good. But you, as a parent, you never stop loving your kids. And God's the same way. You might get annoyed. You might be like, oh, I would like to backhand you right now. Boy, you need some discipline. But you still love him, just like God still loves us. Yes, we might need some discipline, but he still loves us. I was listening to a thing on the radio. I'm listening to this radio station called Air One from California. They're based out of California. I started listening to them on our trip. And they had this statement, and I wasn't planning on sharing it. I was going to save it for another message, but I'm going to say it now. There's a dad. I don't remember what pastor said this, so I might get the story completely wrong because I'm bad at retelling stories as well. But there's a dad that his son was going to college. And he said, son, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay your way. I'm going to pay your rent. I'm going to pay your tuition. I'm going to pay your food. I'm going to pay your way. You don't have to pay a thing to go and have a better life. And the son said, great. That's awesome. Thanks, Dad. Thank you so much. What did I do to deserve it? Nothing. You're part of my family. We're a family. You did nothing to deserve it. We're just connected. And the son said, oh, thanks. Just mail me the check, Dad. Every month I'll tell you what it is, and you can just mail me the check. And the son said, or the dad said to the son, no. It's not how this works. I need to see you. Your mother and I need to see you. So once a month, we want you to come home and connect with us. We want you to connect with us on a regular basis. You come home. When it's time to go, I will hand you your check. Because I love you and I want to connect with you. And that's how God is with us. He wants to connect with us. He paid the way. We didn't deserve that way paid. But he's paid our way. All he's asking for is us to connect with him. Us to be in relationship with him. It's a free ride. All we need to do is be connected to him. And I probably got that story a little bit wrong. But to me, that made sense. And I hope that maybe makes sense to some of you. He wants us deeply connected with his family. Paul puts a lot of talk on a family in Ephesians 2, 14 and 18. It says, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, the Jews and Gentiles. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Both Jews and Gentiles now are connected to God. We are one family. So God and his family takes his chosen people of Israel and brings the Gentiles and makes them one big happy family. It's like the Clampets and the McCoys joining together. It's no more competing. It's no more fighting. It's no more guns out. No more shooting in the air. I don't know what they did. Those Clampets and McCoys. You probably got them in Rosetown, the Clampets and McCoys. God takes this family dynamic of two families and blows it up and makes it one. By one act of sending Jesus to reconcile us to God. But the thing is you cannot connect as a family without peace. How did God bring peace? He did it through Jesus. It's Jesus. Period. Bottom line, we can end there. When we focus as family on Christ, the ground is level. There is no competition. Jesus died for us all. Right? Or did Jesus just die for me and not Nathan? Did Jesus just die for us in this room and not the rest of our town? Jesus died for us all. He came for us all. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author of our faith. And when we do that, all family, trivial, stupid things go out the window. Peripheral things go away. Petty annoyances go away. The way I do my hair and it might drive you crazy goes away. I just do my hair like this so it's closer to God. And now because we have peace as God's family, we can go out and invite others to join God's family. And that's true for all families. Isn't it? The third thing is God wants his family presenting his values. What does that mean? It means there's a way to be a Misko. There's a way to be a Nichols, right? There's a way to be a Lees. I never know if I say your name right. Is it right? Just like Keys? Perfect. I'm sure there's probably a way to be a McDonald or a Cowan. Is there a way to be a Cowan? I'm gonna get thrown out right away. There's a way to be whatever family you're part of, right? Your family has a set of family values. Your family has a way of acting. We belong to God's family, and as God's family, being a Christian, there's a way we need to act. There are things we need to do to stay connected, to show His values, to show God's values. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22 says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone." Our cornerstone is Jesus Christ. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Verse 21 is key, though. In the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. So what is God's authority? He joined us together, connected. We're rising to be holy like Christ. His biggest vision, God's biggest vision, is for us to be like our big brother Jesus. Christians, we bear His name.